Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Let's stand together as we reverence the reading of His Word. I love Wednesday nights. I left out of here last Wednesday and it was just, I was like, man, I just wanted to, you know, stay. I got outside and saw it was, daylight was still, sun was still up. I said, I could have went longer. Might as well go on and preach into the darkness, right? If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me. I want to continue in this series study that we've been in on how to work your faith. Let's go to Hebrews. I want to turn to the 6th chapter. Lord willing, this may wrap up this series tonight. Second volume of a study that we've been in on faith. Now listen, don't just respond because I'm asking. Think about it for a second and then respond. Has this teaching on faith changed the way you live? How many of you are willing to say, I don't think I was living by faith before? Oh my goodness. I mean, I said that in a good way because that's like, do you know what's going to happen now? We are armed and dangerous. Because, you know, we're like, we can't get our car in gear if we're not living by faith. We can have a F-Type 575 horses, but we're still going to be sitting in the driveway if we don't get the thing in gear. And faith gets it in gear. We've been saved by faith, but have we been living by faith? And there is a difference. God called us to a life of faith, not the event of faith. In Hebrews 6, let's look at it down in verse 12. We got a lot to look at tonight. And for those watching this live feed, wherever you are in the world, we're blessed to be where you are. If you're within driving distance, man, you should have been here. Amen. I'm hoping this tangible presence just translates right through this feed and touches you where you are, seriously. Hebrews 6, we'll look at it down in verse number 12. Let's read it with me. Ready? Read. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let's read that again. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Come to lead and guide us into all truth. Father, I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment. That, Lord, you'd bless our hearing, that we, your people, would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, conviction of truth. Lord, I ask that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your Spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these, your people, your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and you may be seated. We're talking about how to work your faith, how to work your faith. When we've looked at the scripture that teaches us the relationship that faith has with action, I have been saying consistently that faith without corresponding action is dead. I know the scripture says faith without works is dead, but I want you to understand that what that work is saying. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Can you say that out loud? Faith without corresponding action is dead. So we need to be able to see our faith. Others should be able to see our faith. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Say that one more time. Faith without corresponding action is dead. So if you say you have faith, can it be seen in what you do? Can it be seen in your conversation? Is it evident? Now, what we're going to deal with in this service is going to tie the whole thing together. And if you don't get this last part, it's about as bad as not getting the first part. Because when you have done what the Word tells you to do, when you have gone through the motions of faith, when you have done what the Word has called you to do in prayer or in your life, in relationship to your faith, your finances, your future, your family, whatever else you want to name, when you have done all that the Word tells you to do, you're going to have to then add the force of patience. Many people do not enter into their promise or walk in the manifestation of their breakthrough, not because they did not do the right thing, but because they did not do the right thing long enough. We've got to get past this, "I tried that." If you ever say to me, "I tried that, then didn't work, Pastor," then I'm going to come back with these verses, because faith is not what I try. It's not what I do with one attempt, especially when we've been living a certain way for 10, 20, 30 years. We've had a certain way of speaking, a certain way of thinking. We've had a certain attitude and disposition. And then you want to try faith for 3 weeks and wonder why it doesn't change. Well, listen, you got 30 years of bad seed in the ground. Are you with me here? Now, I don't want to come at this negatively, because there's too much proactive things for us to look at. Watch this here in Hebrews 6. We're going to back up into verse 11. It says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Read. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Now, what would be the end? When he says here, hold on to the full assurance of your hope all the way to the end. Well, what would be the end? Well, the end would be when your hope is no longer a hope. When what you hoped for has manifested, therefore, by definition, it is no more a hope. Now, let's put a bookmark here in Hebrews 6. Put your bookmark or your finger or whatever, and then turn back with me to Romans 8. I want you to be able to look at Romans 8 and Hebrews 6 at the same time. So I want you in Hebrews 6, verse 11, and then we're going to turn back at the same time and look at Romans 8, 20, 25. When you get there, say amen. Romans 8, 25. So you got Romans 8, 25 and Hebrews 6 and 12 at the same time. Everybody there? All right, here we go. Let's read Romans 8, 25 out loud together. Ready? Read. "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Huh? Well, I'm going to read it again. "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." The Bible's saying that when you have a hope for something you don't see, you wait on it. The problem with many believers is that we don't understand what hope means. We've used the word hope in a derogatory fashion. When somebody said something good was going to come our way, we said in a derogatory way, "I hope so. I sure hope so." See, the way we said it was like, "Yeah, right. It might happen. I hope so." You know, "Well, you know he's going to get saved." "I hope so. You know that this thing's going to change. I hope so." See, I can tell by the way you say "I hope so" whether or not you even know what hope is. Because biblical hope is not a derogatory thing that says on a wing and a prayer, maybe one in a million chance it might happen. "I hope so." That's what the world has taught us about hope. Biblical hope means you have the covenant right to expect it. That it is something that has been promised and from a God that cannot lie. And when he promised you through his word, then that promise became your hope. Another word for hope is expectation. As a matter of fact, the word hope is defined as earnest expectation of good with an outstretched neck. That's literally the definition of hope. Earnest expectation of good with an outstretched neck, which means when you're walking in true biblical hope, you are walking in expectation. So I need you to see the word hope and the word expectation synonymously. They are the same word biblically. They mean the same thing. When you say, I expect it, you're hoping in it. When you say, I hope so, you're saying, I expect it. You've got to start seeing hope as expectation, because ultimately, every one of us have an expectation. You might have a negative expectation, or you might have a positive expectation. You might have a defeated expectation, or you might have a victorious expectation. You either expect to make it or you expect not to make it. But everybody is expecting something. That's why we get so excited, even when we've said something bad about what was going to happen in our lives, and say, didn't I tell you that's going to happen? I knew it was going to happen. And it'd be negative. And be like, I was prepared. It didn't surprise me. I knew it was going to happen. See, it was like you were expecting negative. We're always in expectation. Biblically, faith says, I expect what God said to come to pass in my life. And if his word has spoken it, then I have hope for it. All right? So let's read verse 25 out loud again in Romans 8. Ready? Read. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait on what? Wait on that hope to manifest. Wait on your hope to become a reality. Hope, the Bible says, hope that is seen is not hope. For why does a man hope for that which he sees? Which means if I have it already in my life, then I don't have to hope for it to come to pass. It's when it's not in my life that I hope for it to come to pass. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't necessarily mean, Lord, hey, I've been delighting in you, and you know I desire this, so give it to me. No, delighting in the Lord changes the things that you desire. All of a sudden, your desires change because you delight in the Lord. And now, because you're delighting in him, your expectation begins to come from him. Hope is hearing from God, receiving the word of God, and then expecting what he said to come to pass. Expecting it. Now, I hope so. Expecting it. Expecting it. Expecting it. How do we know you're really expecting the word of God to come to pass in your life? The ultimate evidence of expectation is preparation. You cannot say to me that you expect something that you make no preparation for. How can you say you expect something that you're not prepared for? We've got to stop preparing for defeat. We've got to stop preparing for brokenness. We've got to stop preparing for the worst. We've got to start expecting what God said to come to pass in our life. And it's not as easy as what I've just said. That's why I'm going to spend a lot of time in this word to show you exactly how to do it. But here's the thing. God has shown us here in this word that the only way you inherit what his promise gave you hope for is that you apply faith and patience. So faith alone will not bring the promise of God into our life. It's going to require faith and patience in his word. Now, there's a word nobody really wants to talk about, patience. What does patience mean? It means to be constant. It means to be consistent. It means that whatever I've been doing, I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to be patient at what I've been doing. So if you've been hearing the word, and you've been meditating on the word, and you've been confessing the word, and you've been acting out on the word, and you don't feel like that victory has happened yet, then you need to be patient. What does patience mean? Do I take a recess? Do I just quit and wait till something happens? After all, I've already already heard. I've already meditated. I've already confessed and acted on the word. I guess I'll just sit on my couch, you know, watch Star Trek, you know, and wait for this thing to happen. No, patience says, I'm going to keep doing what the word has taught me to do until the thing that's been moving me, hope, manifests in my life. Patience says, stick with it. Patience says, don't give up. Patience says, don't cave in. Patience says, don't quit. What can you do with a man that won't quit? Patience says, I'm going to persevere. Patience says, I'm sticking with the program. And it's going to require patience before our hope is ever going to manifest. Everybody got that? All right, so watch this. Let's read in verse 25 out loud. Ready? Read. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. There are many people that have never seen their hope manifest because they wouldn't wait on it. They wouldn't be patient. They wouldn't be patient. We may get into this Wednesday. We may get into this on a Sunday. I don't know. I'm praying. But the Lord gave me a series that's going to come in two volumes. And it's been last year he gave this to me. On how to develop a vision for your life. That I literally want to get in the word and say, okay, do you have a vision for your life? Have you laid out a vision for your life? Because there needs to be a vision that we have, a hope that we have for our life. The Bible says here that if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Read that and then emphasize the word it, beginning with then, emphasize the word it. Ready? Read. Then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. What's the it? The it's the thing you hope for. The it is the thing you hope for. People that live without any hope don't even know what to expect. They're no different than the person that knocks on your door and your house is a wreck. And so you say, hey, you're like, what are you doing here? And so you let them in and you immediately say, forgive the mess. I was not expecting you. Because I was not expecting you, I made no preparation. Had I known you were coming, I'd have picked some things up, straightened up a little bit. You know, I'd been ready for you. I didn't know you were coming, so I didn't prepare. That's many people in life. They're just wondering. They don't even know what they're expecting. They have no vision. They have no hope because they have not heard, meditated, and confessed and acted on the word of God. They don't know what's going to happen next. They're just living. They're not even really living. They're just existing. When God's called us to be visionaries, when God's called us to have an image, a blueprint, a plan for our life, and then say, you know what? Don't see it yet, but I'm going to patiently wait for it because the God that gave me the hope for this did not play with my emotions when he gave me this hope. And the same God that gave me the hope for it will give me the manifestation of it if I will apply faith and patience. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now come back to Hebrews 6, so we got a lot to cover. So watch this over here now in Hebrews 6, verse 11. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of what?
Hope.
Of hope. How long?
To the end.
Now, let me simplify what he just said here. He's saying the same diligence you had when you first got the hope, you need to have the moment that hope manifests. You can't let time strip you of your zeal. You can't let time cause you to lose your edge. You can't let delay mean denial. There are so many people that start off strong. Man, you just know on opening day of faith that they are on fire for God. But then after, you know, a few months, you see them begin to fizzle out. And it's like, man, what happened to that fire? What happened to that zeal that you used to have? You know, not too many years ago, I was saved at the age of 17. I surrendered to the ministry at the age of 17. So it was a lot that happened right when I graduated high school. And so when I was given the pulpit at the age of 18 as an interim pastor, you know, I was all fired up. And the older crowd would tell me this all the time. And they'd pick in front of me. They'd say, Brother James, boy, I tell you what, he going to make heaven if he don't run past it. And they'd mess with me. And then they'd say things like this, boy, don't worry, that fire's going to burn out. He's on fire now. Just wait. I heard that. And I remember hearing that and it aggravated me like, you know, no, I ain't receiving that. I didn't really understand
faith at the time, but I didn't like the idea that I'm going to start off on fire and then, you know, after a few years, fizzle out. That's not even who I am. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Listen, the same diligence that you show at the beginning of your faith, God's saying, show it all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Now, watch this, verse 12. That you be not slothful or lazy, but followers. That word follower means imitator. Imitator, be an imitator. That you not be slothful, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who through what? Read it. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Read that out loud again. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, your faith is going to have patience added to it. Patience says, I'm going to keep working my faith. Patience says, I'm going to keep on working my faith. The enemy wants me to, you know, to have a faith that's out of order. He wants me to have a faith that's out of commission. But I'm going to keep working my faith. That's patience. I don't give up. I don't cave in. I don't quit. He says, have that same diligence unto the end. Don't be lazy. Imitate those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. And then in verse 13, he begins to give Abraham as an example of somebody that we can imitate. Listen, the Bible is filled with people that you can imitate. In this series, we've looked at many people that you can imitate. Last week, we looked at David, and you can imitate David's faith. There are people in your life. Paul wrote to Timothy and reminded him of his grandmother's faith and his mother's faith. If you can't find nobody in your life that you can imitate their faith, the Bible's filled with people. Amen. But make it a point that I'm going to imitate those who inherit the promises. Now, come with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, come over a couple chapters. Now, this one here, oh, yeah, this is good right here. All right, oh, yeah, it's good. It's about to happen in here. Mm-hmm. Now, I know where we're going, and so I feel the Holy Spirit's here, and I feel like we are getting this, and it's just line upon line. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Watch this. Watch this in Hebrews 10, verse 36. Now, before I read it, let me ask you a question. Do you believe the Word of God is the will of God? Yes. Absolutely, the Word of God is the will of God. That's why He gave us His Word, so we would know His will. Okay, now, watch verse 36. For you have need of patience. You have need of patience before you do the will of God. After. See, if you were patient about your life before God's will, then God's will would not change what you were doing. You can't be patient before you get the word. Because patience says, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. So when you talk about faith, you're going to have done the right thing, all the steps, and then be patient about it. You can't be doing the wrong thing and say, well, I'm being patient. See, some of you are calling yourself being patient with your spouse. Well, Pastor, you know, she says this and does this, but you know what? I'm going to be patient with her. Okay, what are you doing that you're patient about? She said, I ain't doing nothing. What do you mean you ain't doing nothing? She got an attitude. I can't talk to her. So you're not talking to her? No, I ain't talking to her. And you're going to be patient about that. And you think that's going to work for you. Well, I'm just going to be patient. I want to go. I want to do this, but I'm going to be patient a little while longer. See, even when you said a little while longer, then you weren't being patient. Because patience doesn't say a little while longer. Patience says, I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. Patience is to stick with what it is you've been doing. But many of us have been doing the wrong thing, and then we got ignorant about it. Like, I'm going to keep doing it. Like, we're going to get some kind of different result. Listen, if you think you can do the same thing over and over again and get a different result, then you are being foolish. You can't do the same thing again and again and again and expect to get a different kind of result That's why God has invaded our lives with his word, so we'll get out of sin, get out of self, get out of our flesh, which has yielded no blessing, and say, okay, it's time for me to do this thing right, and not only do it right, and stick with doing it right, even when the devil says it's wrong. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm being patient about my faith. There are many people that'll go through all the steps of faith, but they won't be patient. Maybe you gotta change where you confess. I tried that. You need to get in church. I tried that. What did you come to the Word of God? I went out there. Too many people. I apologize for not stopping number 301 from coming, so we could have kept a small church. I should have said, hey, stop coming. There's gonna be somebody coming in the future gonna say there's too many folk up in here, and that's why they're not living by the Word. Yeah, we need some help, because I promise you the Holy Spirit's not upset about the number of people that are coming and getting Jesus and getting his word. That's man-made religion that gets upset about it. Now, watch this. So watch this. Verse 36. For you have need of patience. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? Read. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Listen, do you believe the word of God is the will of God? Yes. Is the will of God the word of God? Yes. Then where you see will of God, I want you to read word of God. You got it? Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Read. For you have need of patience that after you have done the word of God, you might receive the promise. He's saying, when you've done the book, be patient with the book. When you have done everything God told you to do, now it's time to be patient. Now it's time to buckle your seatbelt. Now it's time to say, I'm not moving. I've come through far. I have believed God. I have stood on his promise. I am not going to quit this thing now, because if I don't add patience to my faith, I'm not going to get the answer. Listen, I have found this in life, that when you notice the most intensity in your life, where you're like, what is going on? It feels like all Hades is breaking loose. When you have the most intensity of your life, you need to stop for a minute and say, okay, wait a minute. What does the enemy see in my future that's made him turn up the heat? What's getting ready to happen right now that it's so intense right now? It's not an accident that these things are intense. It's not an accident that you're going through spiritual warfare. This is the enemy seeing a breakthrough that's on the horizon and trying to get you out of faith before it manifests. Listen, I'm gonna say something by the Spirit of God right now, and this is gonna be for you need to hear this. Every transition in life is met with the spirit of fear. Every transition in life is met with the spirit of fear. If you ever left an elementary school and went into middle school, you might have had a little anxiety about middle school. When you were in middle school and then you had to go to high school, there might have been a little anxiety about being a ninth grader. Listen, I like to drink 5 gallons of water the day I got married, the evening I got married, waiting on the wedding to start. I drank so much water, I made myself sick. And then for some reason, I wanted a Sonic cheeseburger. And my best man took me down to Sonic and I actually ate one. On top of 5 gallons of water. Because I was getting ready to get married. I was getting ready to walk in a new season that I had never known before. Every transition in life is met with the spirit of fear. The enemy will always use fear when you're getting ready to walk into a new season. And listen, when you have planted, the word of God in your heart, when you have cultivated that word, listen, that thing's gonna break out. It's gonna manifest. And before it manifests, that transition is getting ready to happen, because you're getting ready to go from one place to another place. God's going to take you so far from where you've been, you've got to change your zip code. Listen, when that gets ready to happen, at that moment, that's when fear is going to attack you at the most. That's why you need patience. Almost like say, oh, enemy, thank you for that. I realize something must be getting ready to happen, because out of nowhere, you just turned up the heat. You been there? Now watch this. He says after, verse 36, after you have done the will of God that you might receive the promise, For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Read the rest. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You can't afford to draw back. Draw back says, I quit. Draw back says it didn't work. Draw back said, I stood on the word. And nothing happened. Listen, when you've laid the foundation of faith in your life, and you're standing on his word, you hear folks say, I'm standing on his word. They've sung songs about it, standing on the promise of God. You better know that the enemy's gonna come and try to rock you. And you've got to make your mind up that I'm not moving off this position. I'm not moving. No, you trying to shake me. No, I ain't going nowhere. You don't know where I used to be. It took me too much to get where I'm at now. I'm not regressing. I'm not going back. No, I'm standing on God's promise. Having done all you can do, stand there for. Stand there. Sometimes, you listen, you might not have the energy to move forward, but don't regress. Oh, glory. Now, watch this. In James, come over to James. It's one book over. It's just a couple of pages. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited about what's getting ready to happen. Enemy doesn't want you to hear this because all our life, we've been challenged by patience. It's been misdefined, and we don't like it. It's got to be worth really waiting on to be patient with it. My boys and I were out last night. We were heading home. The girls, Christian and the girls, were ahead of us, and I knew they were probably all at the house. And James and Darren talking about, can we get an apple pie? Man, they were just working on me. From the time I got in the truck, can we get an apple pie? I said, well, we'll see. So I'm headed up Pines. And I was approaching McDonald's. Daddy, we going to have a pie? McDonald's wrapped all around the drive thru. I said, let me see it from the other side. Looked almost back to the street. I said, no, I don't want no pie that big. What about Whataburger? They sell pie, so I went by Whataburger. Line wrapped all around the building. I said, no, I don't need no pie that bad. See, I don't want that pie that bad. I'm moving a little bit further. Brand new Pizza Hut. And they got them cinnamon pies in there. And I saw some arrows, and I said, well, maybe they got a drive-through where I can just order one and pick it up right there at the window. And I went through, and I realized it was pickup only. You can't place no order. I'm like, nah, I've been working, I'm dirty, and I'm not going to get out of this truck and go up in there and wait 20 minutes for no cinnamon pie. I said, no, didn't get no apple pie. I moved on. I left three fast food restaurants. McDonald's, nope. Whataburger, nope. Pizza Hut, nope. Why? Because the pie wasn't worth my patience. He said, what are you saying? I wasn't willing to wait in line 10 minutes, no pie. Now, there's some things I'm willing to wait on. Come on, somebody. See, I called my wife for 10 weeks and asked her on a date. 10 weeks she kept turning me down. I kept calling. She turned me down so long, I began to think, wait a minute. There's something wrong with you. Did something change about you since last time I saw you? Why won't you go to lunch with me or something? I said, look, it ain't got to be a date. But see, I knew what I was going after. And I was patiently calling. Y'all got quiet. See, if it's worth, is it worth the wait? Ask your neighbor that. Is it worth the wait? See, God's word is worth the wait. Come on, somebody. God's word is worth the wait. His promise is worth the wait. I remember preaching at LSU University Center. 10 members in their theater had 500 seats. It looked a lot like this, about one third of this. And I would just envision that University Center being filled. I would envision it. Sister Rose, you were there. Wave your hand so everybody know I'm telling the truth. And she was one of the 10 members. And I tell them, scatter out. You're getting all together. Sound like the amen's coming from one spot. Make the radio broadcast sound bad. You sit over there. You sit over there. Make it sound like somebody's actually here. for 5 years. 5 years we met in that university center. Nobody knew our name, couldn't even find us. Some folk wouldn't even come because the walk was too far from the parking lot. But listen, when it's worth waiting on, you just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. You just keep doing what the Word says to do. You don't give up because your hope is in His Word. You have to have a vision for your life and then make your mind up, I'm not moving off this. Woo! Now watch this in James chapter 1. You're there, say amen. Amen. I heard a child say amen. That's what I'm talking about. Stir me up in here. These babies getting this word. All right, watch James verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Read it, wanting nothing. Pastor, how long must I be patient? Until you don't want what you wanted when you were being patient. You ain't hear me. When you don't want it no more, you don't have to be patient for it. Because one of two things happened. You either got what you wanted, or God changed your want. Yes. Patience will alter what you want. It will either give you the steadfastness to remain, or it will cause you to lose your taste for it. You with me? So watch this. He said, let patience. That means it's up to you. Notice, let patience have her. It's speaking of patience like a person. Let patience have her perfect work. Perfect means complete. Perfect means complete. So let's take the word perfect and read it complete up to the word work. Ready? Read. But let patience have her complete work. Read that again. But let patience have her complete work. Now look at the static. What's the series called? Work your faith. So what works? What's the last thing I got to work? Patience is the last part of my work. You see it? Watch this. Let patience have her complete work, that you may be complete and entire. Read the rest. Wanting nothing. See, patience is finished when the thing you wanted when you went in, you don't want no more because it has manifested in your life. You have to remain patient until your want is satisfied. You say, that ain't scripture. It is scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Glory to God. God, watch this. Put this next to that verse if you're writing your notes. Luke 21:19. Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. That's Luke 21:19. In your patience, this is Jesus talking. In your patience, possess ye your soul. If you heard me enough, say it with me. In your patience, possess ye your soul. What does that mean? Possess your soul means you gain control. You've got control of your soul. You've got control of your mind. He says, in your patience, you're going to get control of your mind. See, patience will bring you to a place of discipline. Patience will get you in control of your mind instead of your mind being in control of you. Patience says, I'm not going to move. Patience says, I'm going to stay in this thing. Patience will get you to the place where you'll say, even if God don't do it, I'm not changing. Ha-ha. When you tell God you're only waiting one more week, you better be ready to wait the rest of your life. But when you tell God, I will wait all my life, honey, you won't wait long. See, it's all about patience. God just ultimately wants you and I to take on a position. Listen, your position in faith is more important to God than the reward of your faith. We get caught up in the reward of our faith. We want the result of faith. We want the breakthrough of faith. We want the manifested promise of faith. That's what we want. God's looking at us saying, listen, I can give you the breakthrough like this. I can change your tomorrow today. I've got a billion ways to make that happen right now. I'm not caught up with, can I manifest it? Can I do it? Can I bring forth the victory? No, God can do that like this. What God is looking at is our soul. What he is after is a converted soul that has become addicted to living by faith, that has become committed to living by faith. See, you come into the word thinking that's my only hope. Oh, Jesus, you're my only hope. And you get to church and you got the Bible and you get in the word. You come into this thinking, faith is my only chance. I got no hope outside of this. And you come in obsessed with the promise of God manifesting in your life, because outside of Jesus, you don't have any hope. But God is looking, saying, you know what? When I get through with you, your soul will be converted. You will be living by the word of God day in and day out. Otherwise, if he didn't, we would abandon our faith once we got what we wanted. I've been in my faith 3 weeks and I ain't got what I want yet. Well, because God knows what'll happen if you got it today. Pastor, it won't change me. I know it won't change me. I don't know that. God does. How are you going to look on the other side of your breakthrough? Ask your neighbor that. How are you going to look on the other side of your breakthrough? Still going to be in church? Still going to be lifting up Jesus? Are you still going to be in his praise? Are you still going to wear your Jesus t-shirt? Are you still going to open his word? Are you still going to pray faithfully? What are you going to look like when you get your breakthrough? That's what God is concerned about. What are you going to look like when you get your breakthrough? We get our breakthrough too quick. We abandon faith. Got what we wanted. So God says, no, you're going to have to be patient. Because I need to see you convert. I need to see you convert to faith before I bring this thing in your life. Hallelujah. Now, let's come over to back a couple of pages to Hebrews 12. You're in James 1, but back up a little bit. You get anything out of this? All right, I got good news. We're gonna be back in this next week because I didn't get everywhere I need me. I'm close. But I'm looking right now at my scriptures and I got more than I can count on my own notes here. We still got a long way to go. So watch this in Hebrews 12. We're not gonna do it in this service, don't get worried. Go with me to Hebrews 12, you get there, say amen. Verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. When God came to the children of Israel through Moses in the book of Exodus, which means exiting, because they were going to exit bondage. Stay with me now. God told them on that night of the last plague that they were to eat a meal, that as a result of this meal, their houses would be saved from the angel of death that came through the land. So Psalm 105, verses 37 and 38 tell us all these things that happened when God brought them out, but it was a result of this meal that they ate. So they'd been hearing the promise of Moses, and it took 10 plagues to finally get Pharaoh to let them go. But Pharaoh really wanted to let them go on day one. See, every plague was an answer to an Egyptian god. Oh, y'all better watch this. See, folk, you got, my goodness. Ooh, wait a minute. Now, don't leave. Where y'all going? Y'all going to the bathroom and be back? You're going to miss something right here, Lord. Yeah, they got a speaker in the bathroom, so hurry back now. It's too good for to miss this. Just because I stop hollering on me and it's over, y'all gotta listen. I'm gonna show you something. This is an interruption of what I was gonna say. The Holy Spirit, not that. I'm talking what God just interrupted me, and I'm about to say something I had not premeditated. So, every plague that God sent upon the Egyptians was an answer to an Egyptian god. See, they had the crocodile god. And Pharaoh said, you'll never hear the sound of a frog in Egypt because of the mighty crocodile god. And God, the God, looked down and said, crocodile god? No toads in Egypt? No frogs? I'm going to send more than you know what to do with. And he flooded the land with frogs just to send a message to the crocodile god. You can't touch this. So the Nile River was a god to the Egyptians. It gave life. And they called it a god. And God said, the Nile River is your god? I will turn the purity of that water to blood. See, every plague was an answer to a judgment. Now listen, the children of Israel weren't really concerned about water being made blood and frogs and flies and all that. They'd just soon be gone day one, the day Moses said he came to let them go. So on the night of the last plague, when they were given the Passover meal to eat, normally by custom you would remove your shoes when you got ready to have your dinner. And God said, put your shoes on, and I want your laces tied, and I want you to eat this Passover meal, the bread and the wine and the lamb. I want you to eat it prepared for a journey. So that night when they ate dinner to prepare for bed, God said, don't put your PJs on. See, y'all ain't understanding what I'm trying to say. God said, keep your shoes on, laces tied, prepared for a journey. What God was saying was, I'm going to send one last plague on the Egyptians. And Pharaoh, who would have let you go earlier, but I wouldn't let him let you go because I had my own agenda. The Israelites were consumed with their agenda. Get me out. But God was saying, no, I can't get you out too fast. Because the way I'm going to get you out is going to be forever known. Yeah. It's got to be grand. I'm going to do shock and awe. There will be thousands and millions of people for thousands of years that will speak about what I did. I can't do it fast. Folk will forget it. I got to take my time. I got to take my time with this. Because all you want is freedom. But I want to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians there's no God but Jehovah. And you're wondering why you hadn't got your breakthrough yet. It can't come too fast because this thing ain't all about you. It's about God doing something in your life to send a message to the enemies of your life. Just like Pharaoh should have gave up day one. He don't need no water turned into blood. Right then he was ready. The word says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was like Pharaoh fell down and was out. And God said, no, and grabbed him by his necktie and said, get back up. I ain't done yet. Woo! See, listen, I've wondered many times why it took the Lord in my mind so long to bring to fruition things in my personal life, things in this ministry. Why did we have to be unknown so long? In my mind, I'm like, Lord, we were wasting time. This could have been done years ago, but I didn't know what the Lord was doing. The Lord has a reason. Delay is not denial. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Listen to me. I got to say this too. In Acts 28, it may be 26, Acts 28, it's in 28 chapter. Paul is shipwrecked, swam to the beach, nearly lost his life, and there was some barbarous men that welcomed him. And they noticed the man just come swimming out to sea. And it should have been dead. And he walked up by their fire And he was warming by their fire. And he said, you know, if I'm going to warm by these fire of these barbarous men, at least let me help out and grab a stick. And so he grabbed a stick to throw on the fire. And when he did, a viper bit him and latched on his hand. Now the folk watched and said, wait a minute. He just come swimming out to sea. How did he survive that? He ain't been here 5 minutes. He done got bit by a snake. And everyone around said this. They said, vengeance won't let him live. In other words, this man's supposed to die. The sea didn't kill him, but the snake is. And so the Bible says this, that all that somebody gonna get a word in here. All that tragedy, y'all better hear me. All that tragedy got everybody's attention. Yeah, it did. If you go back and read the story, the Bible said the beast that was latched on his hand, the viper, the snake, he shook it off like it wasn't nothing, just shook it off. They stare and he's shaking stuff off. So after he shook it off, they like, well, okay, he may have shaken it off, but the poison's still in his vein. Because the viper bit him, so the poison's still in his vein. So even though he shook it off, let's just keep watching. If we watch long enough, we'll see him die. And the Bible says they began to stare at him, and the Bible says they looked at him for a great while, expecting that he would fall down suddenly. They couldn't get over that he was still alive 5 minutes after the bite, 10 minutes after the bite. He's sitting down on a stool telling the gospel, and they're still looking like, okay, we know the venom. How long is it going to take to get to his heart? God used tragedy to get those barbarous people's attention. But the Bible says after they had looked a great while and noticed that he fell not down, they were convinced that he was of God. My point to you is that God's going to let hardship and trial remain in your life. When folks start talking and looking and getting all up in your business, don't even get mad. God is just saying, let me borrow you. Let me use you to show everybody what I can do. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if they are watching and they are watching and you lost your job and they're watching and your best friend dogged you out and they're watching, you couldn't pay the car note and they were watching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The doctor gave you a bad report and they're watching. You say back to them, are you watching? Are you watching? You better keep on watching. Watch me as I shake it off. Watch me that it won't change my faith. Watch me that I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to live by faith. Watch me. You didn't say a word when I joined that church. But you ain't shut up since I lost my job. Are you watching? You didn't show up at my wedding, but you talk about my marriage having problems. Are you watching? Look at your neighbor and say, are you watching? See, all God will do is he'll gather you a cloud of witnesses. When you do something big, expect a big crowd. If God's going to do something big, he's going to draw a big crowd. God is drawing a crowd. And Hebrews 12:1 says, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside what was slowing you down. Lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset you. I ain't done yet because I can still get back to Egypt. When I get out of Egypt, we'll be done. Are you getting anything? Are you feeling your faith being stirred? Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. The spirit of faith is tangible. You'll feel it. You'll feel it. You'll feel it. We were driving down the road the other day, and Jaron said, "Daddy, when you're in worship, do you get a feeling go down your spine?" He said, "It's like a tingle that goes through my body." If I hadn't been driving, I'd have texted Pastor Jeremiah right then and told him. My boy just asked me, "Daddy, when you're in worship, do you get a tingle down throughout your body?" I said, "Son, that's the anointing. That's the tangible touch of God. When you worship him and you feel it, that's his tangible touch." He said, "I knew something." There's an anointing in here. When you get a word, you'll feel it. You'll hear it and feel it. You're like, "Ooh, that just hit me. Oh, my God. That, I'm being real." There ain't a drug of A out there that can touch the anointing. Amen. It'll take you high and won't leave you low. Ah. So God said to Israel when they're eating that lamb, "I'm almost done. I got to get out of Egypt. We'll be done." He said, "Oh, by the way, with your shoes on, when you make this bread that you're going to eat tonight, it's going to be your last meal here and you're gone. It's going to be your last meal and you're gone." He said, "When you make this bread, take the leaven out of it. Get the leaven out of there." I know we see leaven as a type of sin, but I need you to see leaven differently. It is sin. But I need you to hear what I'm saying. Leaven is what made the bread rise. If you don't put leaven in your bread, it's going to stay flat like a cracker. God was saying, "We in a hurry here. We in a hurry. We ain't got time to rise and bread. Cook crackers." If you put leaven in that bread, it's going to slow you down. I'm getting ready to move, take you out. I can't have you being slowed down. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatever's outside of faith just slows you down. It just hinders your breakthrough. So when the Bible says here, lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us, what he means is it's like you got all this weight on you. It's like you have no weight on your bread to rise. He said you got to get everything that's not of faith out of your life. It's going to slow you down. Amen. And let us run. Let us run. Hallelujah. Run with patience the race that is set before us. And while we're running, look what we're doing in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Who is Jesus? Read it. The author and finisher of our faith. The same God that authored your faith wants to finish your faith. Don't let him author it and then not let him finish it. There have been many people that he authored it, but you wouldn't be patient and you've not let him finish it. So whatever it is that's going on in your life that's told you to give up, cave in, and quit, you got to tell it, not today. The same God that authored my faith will finish my faith in Jesus' name. Say it out loud. The same God that authored my faith will finish my faith in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Glory to God. Woo! Glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the spirit of faith in this place right now. Your word says that you send your word to heal us and to deliver us from all of our destructions. And I thank you right now, Lord, that you're bringing healing and you're bringing deliverance through the avenue of your word. I want you to take just a minute in this invitation, just a minute. Analyze the delay. And trust God. Man, the old timers told us again and again that he was an on-time God and that he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. My steps are ordered. Lord, you saw this long before it happened. and it didn't shock you, and it didn't scare you, and it didn't change you. So therefore, don't let it change me. Lord, may we be found faithful and patient in your word. Nothing wavering. Mind made up. Committed. Trees planted. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labors are not in vain. Receive the spirit of faith. Receive the spirit of faith. Say it out loud. I receive the spirit of faith. See, if fear is a spirit, you know faith is. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Father, I pray right now that in our patience, we would possess our soul. Church, you've been doing it. Keep doing it. It's not that you didn't do the right thing. You just hadn't done it long enough. Pastor, how much longer? I can't tell you that. But your God stands outside of time. He's not moved by it. He's already positioned you in your breakthrough. It's coming. Time just don't let you see it. Time's just like a wall. Just because you can't see through a wall don't mean something's not on the other side of it. There is something on the other side of time. And there is something on the other side of quit. The reason why the temptation to quit has been so strong is because there's something on the other side of quit. And if you quit, you're not going to see what was on the other side of quit. You got to make your mind up today. No, I'm going to live to see what's on the other side of quit. I'm going to be in faith to see what's on the other side of quit. I done persevered this long. I'm going to see what's on the other side of quit. Should you quit, you're going to miss what was on the other side of quit. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've not given us a spirit of fear. I thank you for power. I thank you for soundness of mind. I thank you that the thoughts that you have toward us are thoughts of peace and not evil. Your word says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto our soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lord, you said that our expectation would not be cut off. Your word says, surely there is an end. Thine expectation shall not be cut off. I thank you that you are the author and you are the finisher of our faith tonight. I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, aligning my heart, my soul, to your will and to your word. I ask forgiveness for the sins of my life and for whatsoever has not been of faith in my life. I ask forgiveness. I call on the name of Jesus, your Son, my Savior, Yeshua, my salvation, the author and finisher of my faith, the Aleph Tav. And I make a decision to live by faith in your word. And I ask right now that you would fill me with your spirit and give me a conviction of truth that I will stay in line with your word. Order my steps in your word, O Lord, and may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth always be found pleasant, right in your sight. Keep me convicted. Keep me in line. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, I thank you right now that you've given me faith and patience. And my expectation in the hope you've given me will not be cut off. In Jesus' name, I trust you with my life that my history will not prevent nor define my destiny. That right now, I will see the manifestation of your word and your will in my life. I trust you with everything, with those that are spectators, that you would use my life to send a message to those outside of faith and that do not know your name, a message of your power and your faithfulness to your word. I trust you with that. That right now you're at work in my life in ways I cannot see. I trust you right now that by your Spirit, you will reveal to me what my eyes haven't seen, what my ears haven't heard, what my heart has never received, the things that you have prepared for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.